Hello, and welcome to the Harassment-Free Workplace Podcast. I'm April Thoreau of Navigating Integrity Associates. This podcast is for CEOs and HR professionals of small and medium-sized businesses to learn practical suggestions that can be used right away to address harassment in the workplace. We are committed to creating workplaces that work for everyone. Welcome. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Harassment-Free Workplace Podcast. I'm your host, April Thoreau, and today I'm excited to have Shantara Leisner as our guest today. Who is Shantara? Shantara is the owner of Cloudburst Consulting Services. Cloudburst provides support to individuals, families, and businesses faced with conflict by helping to develop long-lasting conflict solutions. After graduating from Brock University with her honors BA, Shantara went on to obtain her honors postgraduate certification in alternative dispute resolution from Humber College. After extensive work in the social service sector, Shantara decided to take the leap into entrepreneurship in 2019. Shantara combines her unique skill set, experience in mediation, negotiation, conflict coaching, and restorative justice with intense passion to deliver creative conflict resolution content and strategies. Welcome, Shantara, to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to participate.
Excellent. We haven't had a mediator or somebody who's an expert on conflict resolution yet. So I thought that was such a great topic to have. I'm so excited that you're here. Tell our listeners more about your business and conflict resolution.
Yeah, for sure. So Cloudburst was really designed and brought forth through a passion and acknowledgement that conflict is ingrained into our everyday life in ways that we might not even notice. It helps us to grow, but it can also help us to shrink in situations that aren't super fruitful or aren't positive and don't help us move forward. So what I really like to do is to help to support all of the individuals that I interact with, so that whether that be a family that's really struggling, whether that be a business, small to medium-sized business, that is really not able to communicate effectively when faced with conflict, or that's an individual person that knows that they aren't able to really articulate themselves well when faced with a stressful, conflicting situation, and really help to bring together the ways in which they can be effective in those contexts. And in addition to being effective, being able to find the positives out of this challenging situation. I've always loved being able to help people through challenging situations, and this through Cloudburst has been my, I've been able to do that in so many different and beautiful ways.
It's so great because really we're taught conflict is bad, it's shameful, it's wrong, and we turtle, right? Like we go inwards, don't want to talk about it, hide, just run away from the world. So to learn those tools, which really, when are we taught how to deal effectively with conflict? I mean, I never took a conflict management course in high school, that's for sure. So, exactly. or in university. So it's such a great service to have. And it's so hard for people to get that, oh, these are probably skills I don't really have, or I'm not really good at. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I see it all the time. Like when I'm doing an investigation for harassment, the conflict in the office is through the roof by that point, right? And just nobody's dealing with it. And usually what comes out in investigations is people just weren't dealing with it effectively, or they didn't know how to hear a complaint because, oh my goodness, conflict, hide, or any of that. So I'm so happy that you're here today to really give our listeners some tools on how to deal with conflict when it happens, or, you know, how to smooth the waters after conflict or after harassment has happened. So as I ask all of my guests, you know, what are three things that our listeners who are HR people and employers and CEOs, what can they do right now? What are three things they can do right now to help them in the workplace to decrease harassment or prevent harassment? So go ahead. What are your things?
Yeah, totally. I absolutely love this question because the way that I really love to operate when it comes to my clients or any of the workshops that I provide is providing simple, easy, actionable, implementable steps and ways to give more room for open communication and to provide that easy access to understanding conflict better. So I love this question so much. I just had to say that before I get into my three things, but my number one, I would say, is one of the biggest challenges that most organizations face when it comes to conflict, when it comes to harassment, and steps to really looking at that and addressing that, is denial and overcoming this real deep-seated potential for denial when it comes to addressing conflict or harassment issues. So one thing that I have found 100% of the time, and is just the nature of how it works, is that when we are faced with an issue that for whatever reason has some sort of negative moral connotation in our minds, we decide that it does not exist. Okay. Right? We decide that it's not there.
You have no idea. When I'm introducing myself to people at networking events or whatever, what do you do? Oh, I investigate harassment in the workplace. Oh, no, I don't have any of that happening, is the first thing that comes out of their mouth. Exactly. I haven't even talked to them about anything. It's just, I investigate harassment. Oh yeah, I don't need you. Hold on.
Let's pause. And similarly with me, like, because I work in conflict, it's like, oh, well, I do conflict resolution. Oh, I don't have any of that. Like, my organization is perfect and everybody gets along all the time. And just the nature of having dynamic, different individuals that are walking through this life journey on different paths, that's just not going to be the way it's going to be. Everybody has their own perception of life that they're bringing forth from their own individual experiences that are going to give way to conflict. And in addition, those experiences and these modalities of operating through our life's journey, some give way to harassment and some give way to all these other negative things. So one thing for me is that denial piece is so important to overcome, because it's impossible to prevent or improve something that you don't think is happening, right? Mm-hmm. That you are having a hard time seeing or believing is there. And so even if you have the perfect workplace, even if you are 100%, everybody gets along great and it's perfect. Great, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. But there might be a time when that might not always be the case. And so if you do come into a situation where that's not the case, what do you have in place in order to manage that situation or prevent that situation from happening again? If you aren't acknowledging that this is even a potential threat and potential issue that could arise in your business, in your organization, then how are you able to mitigate against that risk? How are you able to do anything about it?
A really sobering statistic I read was that 80% of harassment incidents go completely unreported. 80%. Yeah. So all of the harassment you hear about in the news, in the media, et cetera, the ones that go to court cases, the ones that I'm involved with, that's only 20%. Where do you think that 80% is actually happening? I talk about it all the time because I do assessments where I can go in and find it for you and then bring it to the surface, because it's happening. Please, let's get over the denial. Know that it's happening. Let's bring it to the surface and address it before it becomes a problem, before it goes to litigation, before you've got that complaint. Let's deal with it before. So we are talking the same language. So 100%, yes, overcoming denial.
It's not as uncommon as you think, like, plain and simple. It just isn't.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I feel like people very often, when it comes to issues of any kind, will say, well, I'm not experiencing it, so it's not real or it's not happening, right? And just because you aren't feeling it or you aren't experiencing it personally doesn't mean that it's not being felt by someone, and doesn't mean that there isn't an individual who's experiencing that or potentially could have that experience or is on the precipice of feeling as though the situation could elevate to that. Everybody has their own personal lens. And so just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah. And I really find that like daring leadership, like really at the forefront of leadership that's causing innovation, et cetera, the leaders are standing up and going, I'm in denial about this. Like, I get that. I don't think it's happening. Just because I don't think it's happening doesn't mean it's not happening. So let's look for it. Let's get proactive. Let's call it out. Let's talk about it. Because if you're talking about it, it's going to make a safer place for people to bring complaints to the forefront. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, thank you. Overcoming denial. Get that you're in denial and choose not to be in denial and say, okay, how do we find this?
Totally, 100%. And I think sort of to what you were saying, very often individuals tend to personalize and say, oh, but if I admit that there is this potential for this issue, that means that there's something negative about me or my leadership, that there's something that's failing there. But that's not true. That's not, as much as it might feel that way, and there might be that weird tension for that, the people that are leading industries, the people that are really innovating, are the ones that are willing to take that reflexive view and sit back and understand that it's not a me issue, it's a potential systems issue. And there is something that I can do to help and affect this system, you know.
And also being in a position of leadership, if you've got a bully in the middle ranks, right, they're bullying down and they're kissing butt up.
Yes.
So from the leader's perspective, the bully looks like a great person, like they're the best employee. But then if you ask the people under them, how are they being treated? That's a different conversation, right?
So
it's easy to be in denial when everybody's kissing the leader's butt, right?
So easy.
Everything's shining and roses up here. What are you talking about?
From this vantage point, it's great. So I don't get what the issue is.
Exactly.
So that really gives way to my point number two, which is unpacking personal biases and really looking inward, right? So how can you really prevent something or look at something or address an issue if you have no concept of what your relationship to this issue potentially is because you've never thought about it? And if you've never thought about it, then how can you emphatically really know that it's not an issue? If you've never really considered it, if you've never considered the implications of it or how it works, how can you really know, right? So by taking the time to unpack the conflicts and the issues that you're seeing and understanding the role that you might potentially play in the problem without personalizing the issue, without saying, oh, well, you know, if I admit that this is a problem, this means a bad thing about me. No, by being able to understand and say, okay, so this is an issue that potentially is here that I didn't see before, but by sitting down, unpacking my own personal experiences, understanding better my own context when it comes to conflicts, disagreements, harassment, all of these topics will help me unfold and bring to light more information, a greater understanding, and a greater empathy for those that are around me. And being willing to be open and creative in unpacking and in changing systems and structures that could be contributing to this recapitulation of potential issues is really important. And taking ownership over what you can do, what role the individual can have in impacting change.
Wow. This one point we could talk forever about. I feel like this is a lifelong journey, really, of looking at yourself, having that self-reflective lens of where am I biased and where am I not. In my previous career, I was a midwife, and in my training to be a midwife, we went to different midwife clinics and sat in on visits and stuff. And I remember there's one midwife, she taught me such a beautiful example. She said, she was meeting a client for the first time. So she had never met this person. So she pulled the file out and she goes, so what I first do is I look at, see if there's anything of high risk that I need to know about. And the second thing I look for, the second thing she looks for is, how am I biased towards this person before I even meet them? And I was like, what? She's like, am I making biases up about their name? Do I have prejudices? Is it an ethnic name? What do I think about that ethnicity? How do I feel about that ethnicity? And how is that going to affect the care of this person? And I was just like, wow. And then she looked at the address. Oh, okay. That's a poor part of town. Okay. So what prejudices, what stories am I already creating about this person before I've even met them? It was such a beautiful example to me of like, I'm really owning my preconceived notions, my biases, you know, how is that going to affect their care? And by her just speaking them, she can then go, I can now set them aside and meet this person for the first time without all of that stuff in the way. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, thank you for that lesson. And I took that through my whole career as a midwife. And I do it now to this day. Yeah. It's like when I'm doing an investigation, it's like, you know, the employer is who hires me and they'll tell me their story from their side. And I got to look at and go, okay, I need to now interview the complainant from a fresh slate, right? So I can't have all of their interpretations of who this person is interfere with my interviewing that person and getting their side of what's going on. So it's just such a beautiful thing. So like as an employer, what are your biases? What stories do you have? If somebody's come to you about sexual harassment, what are your biases about sexual harassment? Do you think it's like, oh, women are just, you know, they're just so sensitive nowadays. That's a bias, you know?
Yeah.
It's so important. 100%. This is like, it's so important to look at myself and go, okay, somebody's coming to me with this complaint. Well, I already know this person. I don't like this person. Okay. I can't let that interfere with what's actually coming to me. So much goodness in there.
Yeah. There's so many things that we even internalize that without that taking that time to unpack, reflect, and really dig a little bit deeper, we might not even wholly know is there. It's not an active thing that we seek out to do, just to have preconceived notions about a person or about a situation or about an issue that we're faced with. That's, we don't necessarily seek out to hold those things and to bring those into the room with us. But regardless of whether we've decided to seek them out and wear it on our backs like a backpack or not, it's being brought into the room. And that's, and one of the things within sort of alternative dispute resolution is really this understanding, and mediation, the field as well, is this understanding of the importance of ethics and the importance of knowing and understanding that as a mediator, you have biases. As a mediator, as a supposed neutral third party, you have your own personal contexts that you're bringing into the room. And if you do not acknowledge those, if you do not address those, if you do not unpack those and leave it at the door, then you cannot be effective in what you're about to do. And similarly, so one of the things that I really try to empower all of my clients to do is to look at that, because similarly, so you're bringing all of that into the room, whether you wholly are conscious of it or not. And it's not an easy journey. It's not something you just say, oh, I'm going to take a look at this and then tomorrow I won't bring that into the room. No, it's definitely something that it takes negotiating and nobody's going to be perfect at and everybody's going to struggle with. But by making that, taking those first steps and making that effort to try can have a huge impact on how a situation unfolds.
And what I really love about where our society is right now, I hate that it's taken this long, but the whole Black Lives Matter movement is really having us look at our biases, you know, in a whole new way. I mean, I'm having conversations with my white English parents about how they're racist. Like they say racist things and they don't realize that it's racist. And just being able to have that conversation with them is so I love that we're the conversation is happening. As I said, it should have happened years and years ago, but mm-hmm. those conversations that they're completely unaware of how, what they say is racist. They have no clue. And mm-hmm. so bringing it to their attention and just really standing for, these are biases that have been, you know, integrated, they're systemic, they're here. And so being able to unpack those is not an overnight thing. It is a lifelong journey. Yeah. I'm always looking at my biases, as I'm sure you're all, as you said, as a mediator, you're always mm-hmm. looking at your biases. So it's definitely a lifelong journey to take on. And yeah. the more we take it on, the safer our workplaces will be, right? Because people are going to feel yeah. safer in an environment where a leader is saying, look, I had this bias and it's affected me this way and this way, and I'm standing for that not happening anymore. Please call me on it. Like, what a great mm-hmm. leader that would be. Like, and how safe would you yes. feel in that work environment, right?
Oh, 100%. I that was so, so well put. And I feel like there's so many complexities to the journey of that. And me as a mixed race, self-identifying Black woman, I've had my own journey in negotiating my own privileges as a woman who is light skinned, but Black identifying, the privilege that I have in being mixed race, half Black, half white, but then simultaneously also the privileges that just plain and simple I do not have and that are not afforded to me in certain spaces, and the biases that the privileges that I have, but the privileges that I don't have also affect my work, affect my personal life and how that all works together. And again, like I said, it is a journey. It is very personal and individualized, but it is something that is important, especially now more than ever.
I am a white mother who has an adopted Asian child. And let me tell you, I am putting my foot in my mouth so many times and not realizing the privilege that I have. And oh, even something simple, like I'm 5'9", like I'm a big white woman. She's just barely 5 feet and Asian. Yeah. And her lived experiences are very different than my lived experiences. Mm-hmm. And I have just put my foot in it so many times, and I'm constantly, she's 21. I've had 21 years and I'm still uncovering my biases of being a white privileged woman. So yeah. Yes.
And that's what's so great about having these conversations is that acknowledgement is so meaningful and so powerful, and being like, oh, I'm still learning all the time. That's so awesome. Like yes. that's the goal, is yes. for we're fluid people who aren't always perfect, but by having that willingness to learn and to grow, it's just huge.
Yeah. And again, we could talk about this all day, but yes. we're getting to the end. So what's your third? So the first one yeah. was overcoming denial. Just get that it's happening. Number two is unpacking your biases. What's your third point that people could do right now?
My third point that people could do right now is constructive dialogue. Have some constructive dialogue. And now what does that mean? Because that sounds pretty big and pretty kind of vague. So what I mean when I talk about having constructive dialogue is no one-way top-down conversations, right? So having a space and allowing room for open, healthy communication systems built on boundaries, right? So giving not just a safe physical space to have these conversations in, whether that's an environment that's different from the regular day-to-day workplace that you're in, where potentially this issue of harassment or of conflict started and initiated, taking yourself out of that physical space to have that conversation, but also it not be a conversation that's led and driven in one specific direction. It's empowering all voices that are in the conversation to give light to those struggling to be heard, and really providing the floor for that and facilitating that process is a lot of what I do in my work, is facilitating the process and allowing the space for this constructive dialogue to happen. And I really believe that it is probably one of the most integral steps to addressing this is setting up the positive spaces to have this dialogue, to be able to speak openly and call people out in ways that are healthy and positive and constructive and not just...
and not going to be punitive. They're not going to be in trouble for saying, speaking up and speaking what's happening. Yes, it's so important.
Yeah, I think that's so integral is... you might never know that you're having this issue in your workplace because without knowing it, there isn't an outlet or an opportunity for any kind of constructive dialogue or conversation to take place about this issue. Mm-hmm. So that might be why you don't know that it's there. There are a plethora of other reasons why you might not acknowledge it, but 100%, I think that having safe spaces to have those conversations is high up on that list.
It's one of the things that I do. I do investigations and I do assessments. And the whole point of an assessment is to provide that really safe space for your employees to tell me what's really going on without them worried about being hurt or being punished or any of that. They can actually just really be heard. So that's one structure. And also obviously bringing in a mediator is another great structure of, you know, let's set up a great space where we can really talk in dialogue and have everybody feel heard and that everybody has a voice.
Mm-hmm. And I, the other thing too, is it's not just a, it's not just one conversation. It's many conversations and creating a system and creating a real pattern, a habit, and going into a situation and saying, okay, how can we make this space better for a constructive conversation that to take place and to happen in a way that's safe and empowering?
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Oh, Shantara, there's so much we could talk about. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today. I really appreciate all of your expertise. Clearly you love and have a passion for mediating and for helping make a difference. So thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for helping people work through their quagmires of stuff that they're dealing with. So thank you for everything you do. Thank you for sharing your time and your expertise with us. I really appreciate it. In the episode notes, you can find everywhere where to find her, but cloudburstconsultingservices.com is your website. So please go and check out Shantara on her website. And also listeners, if you feel there's value here, please subscribe. Anywhere where you listen to your podcast, there will be a subscribe button. What's really great about that little subscribe button is when you hit it, every time a new episode of this launches, it will get dropped into your app. So if you're listening on an iPhone, into a podcast, wherever you listen, it will get downloaded every time there's a new one. And then anytime you go to listen to your podcast, it will be there waiting for you. So please subscribe. Thank you for listening. And thank you again, Shantara, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Excellent. We will see you next time on the Harassment Free Workplace Podcast. Thank you for joining us for the Harassment Free Workplace Podcast. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. And please spread the word. Feel free to send us feedback, questions, and suggestions for future guests you'd like to hear from. We'd love to hear from you. For more information on workplace investigations and assessments, please visit www.harassmentfreeworkplace.com. Till next time.